dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RAMs, zip, sys. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
I'm back! That's right. Stank Dog back with you once again on Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 85. I am back after a little hiatus. Today is, March 1st, 2005. And joining me on the show today is Black Ratchet. Hello to you, my friend.
Hello, hello.
And, wow, it's been a rough couple of weeks for me, I have to say. And it's not over yet, but the show must go on, so we've got a lot of stuff to take care of this week, so let's jump into housekeeping right away. We've got a ton of email that's fallen behind. I forwarded a bunch to Doug, but we've got a bunch more to cover tonight, and I guess let's start with the housekeeping first of all, and thank Doug for taking over the show for the last 2 weeks. For those of you who,
yay, Doug.
Yeah, for those of you who don't listen regularly, I had to take a little time off, and I'm going to talk about that later in the show and tell some of that stuff, but basically, I had to take care of some things, so if you're wondering where the hell I've been, that's what I was doing, taking care of some real-life stuff, but I needed somebody to take the show over. I don't want to just leave the show. I know a lot of people look forward to it each week. I look forward to it each week, frankly. It's the funny thing is that I was dying to go out there and download Doug's episode so I could listen to the show, so I do not want to miss a couple of weeks of the show to take care of stuff, so Doug was gracious enough to take it over almost forcibly. I kind of forced him into doing it, but Doug and Lucky225 took over the show episodes 83 and 84, and they did a fantastic job on the show. I listened to both of them. Doug did a great job keeping everything orderly, going with the same format we go with, lots of interesting topics. So definitely thank you to Doug. And hopefully maybe we can get Doug to do it again or someone else in the future, maybe rotate things in and out, because I know I'm an acquired taste. Sometimes people don't want to listen to me every single week. I don't want to listen to myself every week, frankly. So we might start doing some more things like this in the future. Another thing I wanted to talk about is the magazine orders. We are still shipping out magazines for anybody who's has not purchased Binary Revolution magazine. We have the first
three
issues.
You guys make a magazine?
Yeah, we do. It's actually at magazine.binrev.com. Yeah, maybe you ought to actually look up once in a while on the webpage at the top, not the forums. There's a whole lot of other
stuff.
Yeah, there's a whole
lot. Looks like I'll have to order those or something.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of other stuff that we do. I'm still fulfilling orders. It's still an out-of-my-apartment kind of thing, so with the other stuff that's going on, it's gotten a little bit slow here. Basically, I'm only able to do this once every week or two. So I basically save up the orders, go down there once every week or two to the post office, mail out a big batch, take a box down there, something like that. So if you're lucky and you get your order in, like, the Thursday and I take them on a Friday, then you won't notice the difference, but if you're on the other end of the whole cycle, then it might get to be a couple weeks before I can even get them sent or you'll get them. So keep that in mind, please, that we are not like a real business. This is more like a hobby, information sharing, whatever you want to call it, just kind of an out-of-the-basement deal. So hopefully, at some point in the future I can offset all this somewhere else, let somebody else deal with this hassle. But right now, this is the only realistic way to get it done. So bear with me a little bit. Also, I guess the biggest news this week as far as we're concerned, or at least certainly the most... I'll choose my words carefully here. Help me out with this one. The most vocal bit of news this week has been in the forums, where...
The largest piece of BinRev forum-related news.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's just, there's always the drama, but we have created an environment with the forums that I try to make as friendly and as approachable as possible. To do that, it requires that we have moderators. So I've named some new moderators lately, and every time this happens, you know, somebody gets bad out of shape that a post they made gets edited or something like that, and they start freaking out about it. Well, first of all, moderating the forums is not nearly as easy as some people may think it is. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. It's not simply a power thing where, like, you're going to delete posts from people you don't like or you don't know or you don't whatever. The moderators basically have two jobs. Now, they're not... They break down into a lot more detail, but two essential jobs. One is to try to keep the place friendly, approachable, and keep people civil to each other. That's the hardest part of this, trust me. That is the hardest part of this, and that's why so many other forums over the years come and go. That's why they all die out. That's why Alt 2600 and all of the news groups, that's why they all died out. Because it's a giant clusterfuck, and everybody's flaming everybody that's full of elitism, everybody's putting each other down, and it's just constant negativity. And I try to keep that out of our forums, and that's one of the things that the moderator's job is to do, is to try to keep people polite, civil, and sociable. So, to that effect, we have a warning system to try to control that. The second thing that the moderators have to do is keep the site and me from being sued. What that means is there are certain things that, A, we will not allow to be posted in the forums, and B, frankly, I don't want them posted in the forums either. A simple example is wares. I do not condone wares. I am not going to allow them in our forums. If you put up wares, of course, being Juarez, or whatever you want to call it, pirated software, I will not host that on the site. That is something that will get me shut down in a heartbeat, and we will lose everything. So I will not allow that in there. If we find it out there, it will be deleted. Some of the other things that we don't allow is in-stream porn, or prawn, as we like to call it, because we have certain people here that are not of legal age. There are younger people here that do not need to have that thrown at them, and that could get me in trouble as well. Posting personal information, which is the one that came up this time, posting personal information about people kind of falls into both things. A, this is not a site for you to drop docs on people. Nor is docdroppers.org, but that's a whole other story. If you're posting numbers about the phone company or any company, really, for the most part, that kind of thing can slide. What I don't want is posting people's personal phone numbers, whether that be people in the forums, other people, other members, and stuff like that, or that be celebrities. I don't want them in this forum. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. I think Paris Hilton getting owned is freaking hilarious. I think it's fantastic. I think it's hilarious that it's... And it's also triply funny that it's her over and over again consistently. It's so funny. But I just can't take...
For those of you who don't know, Fink has a huge Paris Hilton fetish. I've seen his room. It's scary.
Yeah, there's... Don't tell them about binrev.com/Paris. Never mind. I'll edit that out. No, but I don't want to get sued by these people and have the site shut down over something so silly. So, the moral of the story here is, if you're going to put that kind of thing in there, link it to a different site so that they're responsible for the content. If we just link to it, then it's a little bit easier for me to recover from and defend against. Now, I'll refer you back to the old ForgeSucks.com controversy and the case with 2600 and stuff as far as linking goes. That also is dangerous, but I'm more comfortable with that and willing to fight that and deal with that than I am posting the actual data. in the forums, posting actual information. So, to me, it makes common sense, but I guess not to everyone else. So, we have rules up to try to control that as much as possible. The rules can't cover everything. I couldn't possibly sit down and write up a list of rules that are going to cover every single thing that can and cannot go into the forums, nor am I do I have any intention to. That's ridiculous to even make an allegation that I have to write rules against what you can't do. That's silly. But anyway, what I can do is put in a few more moderators. So that's what I'm getting at here. I put in a couple new moderators. We have Strom Carlson and Doug.
Yay!
And here's the funny thing. Two of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet in life. In a matter of 3 days, they went to the most hated people on the entire site, it seems like. I know that's not the case. I'm joking. But these are two guys that I think that we can trust. I think the regular listeners to the show and visitors to the forum know that they're trustworthy people. I trust them enough to protect us and the forums and things like that, and I trust their decisions. When they make a decision to edit something or remove something, they did it with the best of intentions. And I don't know how you can get upset and fault somebody for that. It's always easy, in retrospect, to put it back. If we decide, you know what, maybe we should have left that number up. Maybe we should have left that link up. We can always go back and put it back. It's not that big a deal. Don't get your panties all in a twist, people. Seriously, you can untie the knots, really. Panties are real easy to untie. Can I get an amen on that, Black Ratchet?
Yes, every post I edit, I make sure I have a copy of what I've edited in case someone comes back and says, you know, you really should have put that there. And that's me. I do that.
Right.
And because I don't trust myself, but...
Yeah, and sometimes it's something that you want to take down right away, you're not sure about. Well, we've done something, so what happens here is then the users in the forums get all bent out of shape, thinking that we're big brothering them and editing everything they do and yada, yada, yada. All right, so I had to think about this. I came up with a compromise. And actually, Droops had a fantastic idea, and that is to create a moderators-only forum, and that's what I've done. Now, we have a members-only forum, which is separate and irrelevant for DDP members, but we also have a moderators-only forum. So all DDP members have access, as well as all of our moderators, like Droops, Obfuscated, Icon, Strom Carlson, Doug, etc., etc., etc. They all have access to this, and... basically, what this is for is to talk about or debate any posts that are questionable. So if somebody does post a number, instead of one moderator taking it upon themselves to remove it, which I agree could potentially be dangerous, I guess, if you don't trust your moderators or somebody gets an ego trip. I don't think that's the case with us. But to avoid that potential and those allegations that people have made, we've come up with a rule that says now that if somebody finds something that's questionable, they are to post it in the moderators only forum, where all of the rest of us can see it. And if we get a consensus of three members, three moderators, three DDP members that agree that it needs to come down, then it will come down. So you can't whine and complain about any individual person taking down your post or editing your post. It takes three people now. That's as democratic as I can make it. Three of the moderators. I think that's a fair solution. I think it's fair to us, gives us protection in the forums and allows the forums to keep growing and stuff like that, while at the same time, it's fair for the users because we don't have any one person who is above the law, for lack of a better word, or who can go in there and have a grudge or whatever. That sounds fair to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know how to... I mean, look at how cool we are. You know how nuclear weapons have a two-man rule? We have a three-man rule.
Yeah, we have a three-man rule, three-person rule.
So just think, it'd be a whole lot easier to bring about nuclear apocalypse than like, you know, abuse power on DDP forums, or BinRev forums, excuse me.
We're safer than nuclear power. That should be our new slogan.
Yes.
That's our new catchphrase. We're safer than nuclear power, so... I think that's a great solution. I think it's fair to everybody involved, and I think it takes away that accusation of so-and-so has a grudge against me, which we have dealt with in the past. So, I wish somebody else, here's the drawback, and this is the frustrating part to me. I wish somebody had actually offered that suggestion, besides Droops, you know, give him credit, that is a good idea to put a moderators-only forum. I took it a step further to start making some rules of three votes you're out, that kind of stuff. But... I wish someone else on the forums would have offered this suggestion. You know, why is it always crying about it and flaming and saying, you know, F this person and screw that person and all this? You know what? Why don't you contact somebody privately and try to help become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem?
Amen.
Well, I that's my biggest frustration with people in general. I have no tolerance for people who are trying, who are not trying to help. You're either trying to help or you're not trying to help. And if you're not trying to help, get out of my way. Serious.
Well, at the same point when this got brought up, first thing that I thought is, geez, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, it was a great idea.
So, hindsight is 20/20. I will give everyone that.
Yeah. So big credit to Droops. That was a great idea, and hopefully that will keep things a little bit more organized as far as our power and control. However, I still want to put out there the other job of the moderators is to make sure people are friendly and kind to each other. I'm not going to tolerate elitism. I've said it from the beginning. And if you want to say I'm abusing power by making such a rule, well, then maybe you need to go to another forum or go to another site, hang out. But if you post comments out there that are rude, that are unnecessary, that are unhelpful or whatever, jokes, I'm okay. I'm very lenient. I'll take jokes. Not a problem. And if it's misinterpreted from a joke, you have this 3 moderator rule now that will save you. But I'm not going to be tolerant of people who are just coming into the forums to be assholes. Got no time for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, didn't want to spend that much time on that, but hey, it happens. And that's
welcome
only the,
to Bin Rib Radio.
Yeah, that's the tip of the iceberg of the drama for this episode, I believe. Actually, I'm not even out of the housekeeping yet, for crying out loud. The other thing is, I wanted to let everybody know, for those of you who didn't already see, that I've installed a new gallery, and we're in early testing. This is a very low priority to me, I have to say. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's true. Basically, when we switched servers, I had to move. I have a backup of all the old data, and when I moved all the old data over from that server to this one, the short version is that the settings were really, really screwed up, and I was not able to easily recover the gallery as is in the proper format with everything in place. I was able to do that with all of the other sites and all of the other software just about, except for the gallery. So, I do have the pictures, I do have the data, but to reinstall gallery is going to take some time, and more importantly, to reorganize it. Unfortunately, the people that made the galleries and created their own galleries and uploaded files the last time created everything under default names. So all the categories and topics, all the folder names say Album 1, Album 2, Album 3. Very few people went that extra step to make it organized to say, you know, web hacking album or wallpaper screenshots album, you know, something like that. So all I've got is Album 1, Album 2, which means I have to go through them picture by picture, one by one, to figure out what the topic is, what the theme is, put them together, upload them to a new gallery, and it's just a hugely time-consuming process. So bear with me about that. I'm doing it the best I can, but frankly, it is a low priority. I'm also, because I was going to have to go through such a hassle to reinstall the gallery, I went ahead and tried this new gallery, Coppermine, I think it's called. Does it sound right? Something like that. Yeah, something like that. So at some point we'll skin that to match the rest of the site, yada, yada, yada. I haven't tweaked any of the settings, all the file size. Somebody's been telling me that you can't upload more than a meg. I'll look into that. I don't know how the settings are yet. So I'll see how that works and give me a little time. I'm lucky that I've already got it installed. You know, so that's all that I have for that. So that being said,
so if like I can upload lots of photos. So if anybody wants to send me up their porn collections, that'd be blackratchet.org,
yeah.
And I will gladly put it up on the gallery for you. Yeah.
Our personal. We'll make a separate prawn gallery.
I will personally see that pictures.
You know, actually, we probably could. Joking. I know you're joking. We could probably. I think there's an age check in here. Make them click through an age you're above 18 to come in. But we're not a prawn site, so we won't do that. Although there's a little bit of phone prawn in there. I think I can let that slide a little bit. As long as probably...
Yeah, the dual prawn?
I got to upload that, too. Okay. Let's see here. I guess unless you have any more housekeeping stuff.
No, I do not.
Okay, then let's go into some email here. So email music. All right, and I guess let's go ahead and do this email to start the show off with. Let's start off, and then we can move upwards from move up and on from here. First email this week comes from UT Crazy. UT Crazy says, "Hello, Stank. You do not seem to get much hate mail. Let me be one of those few emails. While I have enjoyed your show for the past few years, what happened last week made me lose any respect for you that I once had. When you removed my show from the DDP Hack Radio stream, it really pissed me off. I can understand if you did it because I was an ass, but I wasn't. I tried to email you as nicely as possible. I said I realized it's hard to run a station like that. But oh no, you had to take my stream off the air. I realize that you probably do not care what I think. You didn't even care when somebody got fired because of you. I realize you don't even care. I also realize that you don't even care what I think, but I thought I would make it clear how I think. Clearly, I don't want you to add us back on the stream." Okay, that's clear. "That is not why I'm emailing you. That was your decision, and I respect that. But after so many hours of listening to your show, it just went down the drain. Don't get me wrong, I am still going to listen to your show. It's just not the same. What also makes me mad is how you made fun of the guy who said Plam Pilot instead of Palm in an email. I personally know how it feels to have someone read your email, and it makes you feel good, but then they start poking fun of you. It really hurts to hear this person that you respect say such things. Well, that's one person's opinion. Thanks, but no thanks." Okay. UT Crazy. First of all, I do get hate mail, quite a bit of it, actually.
No.
I even make light of it, you know, on the show several times, which
I thought you were loved by all.
Yeah, you know, funny, oddly enough, I'm not. You'd think so, you know, but just, no, not everybody gets me. Not everybody. So, I do get a lot of hate mail, or people who don't like me or whatever, and I read most of it on the air, so I don't know how you might have missed some of it, but... and this one's no different. I read this on the air as well. A lot of people disagree with me, and that's fine. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't agree with everything, with my friends even, you know? So disagreeing with me is one thing. And it's good that people have different thoughts and different feelings and different opinions on things. That's a very good thing. We need different people with different opinions around here. What does bother me is for someone to say how much they hate me when I've done nothing except gone out of my way to help somebody. That's what bothers me a little bit. I'm offended that for me to do everything I can do to try to help somebody and then get an email like this, that bothers me. So if you disagree with me and you hate me because you disagree or you don't think I'm smart or I'm not saying what you want to hear me say or whatever, that's fine because that's a difference of opinion and I can live with that. I can say, okay, well, sorry you disagree with me, but that's you, and I'm me, and I guess that's all there is to say about that. But when I'm trying my best to help somebody and I get an email like this, that bothers me. Let's back up here and talk about this first of all. And let's talk about the technical aspect of DDP Hack Radio. First of all, Nick84 especially, and myself, but Nick84 especially, has put in a lot of time, worked very hard putting together DDP Hack Radio. I mean a lot. It was not easy by any stretch of the imagination. It's something that's never been done before in the open source community. Absolutely hasn't happened. Normally, what we're putting together here is something that costs a lot of money. You can check with Rant Radio, for example, or they'll back us up on this. Rant Radio, I've spoken with them. They've given me ideas and pointed me in the direction of software, pay software out there, that you can get that does a lot of this. It's very, very expensive. So it is a lot of time, cost of software, hardware, and debugging and stuff to maintain a server and to run a station. It really is. I don't expect everybody to really understand that without having your hands in it and seeing how difficult it is. You can just, I guess you have to take my word for it, and like I said, Rant Radio can back me up. I know Voodoo Hal can back me up, Nick 84, etc. So what we did is, because we couldn't afford the software, we got open source applications, combined several open source applications, along with some custom code that we developed in-house, which will also be released.
Chewing gum and buff tape on it.
Exactly. And ours, and right now it is kind of like that, but we are definitely cleaning it up as we test along. And our portion of this will also be released into the open source community once it's stable and working again. But by combining what's out there and developing stuff on our own, we've created not only a server. I mean, there's Icecast out there. There are ices to feed it. There are tons of ways to feed the MP3s, etc., to it. All that stuff exists, but there's not a total programming solution. And that's what we've put together, combined all these things with in-house stuff, and made a total programming solution that allows people to set up their own stations with their own content anywhere, all for free, all open source stuff. And like I said, we'll release it when the time comes that we feel confident that it's stable enough to use. And this is going to be a huge thing, because it's going to help a lot of people start creating their own radio stations with their own content, their own, you know, somebody wants to start, I don't know, a porn radio station. Somebody wants to start another tech radio station. Somebody wants to start an all music. They will have this because we've developed such a thing. Now, the problem here is that somebody has to test it. Just like every other software in the world, somebody has to test it. We've been testing it. We've been testing it for quite some time, and it works. It works most of the time. So we are very close to releasing this. It's actually pretty good the majority of the time. We didn't have any reports or problems with the server until we moved hosts. When we moved to a new hosting company, we moved to a new physical server, we started getting a few reports, well, from UT Crazy, that his show was getting kicked off the air. So the first time it was not up and running yet. We had just moved like on a Sunday or Monday and something like that, and we just didn't have it up and running yet, so that's understandable, that's fine. The second time it happened, apparently, was because of mistakes on their end, where they didn't upload the show properly and didn't follow the directions that we had. So, fine, a couple little things happened, but we moved on. After that, they reported to us that the show didn't air a few more times. At the same time that I was getting those messages from you, Binary Revolution Radio also did not air. I uploaded it. Everything seemed fine. I was equally affected by this. Binary Revolution Radio did not air at least one, I think 2 weeks, though, and everything looked fine to me as well. So, point being, I'm not happy about it either. Believe me, I don't want my show skipped any more than I want anybody else's. So, yeah, we're looking into it, trying to figure out. The problem is that it's an intermittent problem. It's an intermittent mistake, or whatever you want to call it. Everybody else seemed fine. And we looked through the logs. We tried to find out what was going on. We looked into it right away, of course. And we couldn't see anything that was causing this. So all we could do was keep monitoring it the best we could with this open source software that we're having to deal with. There's no error logging, or almost no error logging, that's generated. And any programmer out there listening, and Black Ratchet, maybe you can back me up on this. If there's no logging and no information being generated, and you have an intermittent problem, it's very, very difficult to find out what's causing it.
Logging is for wimps.
Yeah, right.
Beta is a state of mind.
Yeah, if something just crashes and doesn't give you an error of why it crashed, and you can't see any regular pattern or something else running or something else that's caused it, it's really, really, really hard to figure out what caused it, seriously.
Or you're just running Windows.
Yeah, and we're not, luckily, so. I wouldn't, if I was...
I thought the BinRev was all, you know, Windows 2000 and IIS 4.5 based.
Yeah, you keep believing that.
All hail Microsoft. Yeah. All hail Microsoft.
Uh-oh, I think somebody's been brainwashed. But no, it's kind of like taking your car to a mechanic and, like, handing them the keys and go, yeah, it's broke, there's something wrong, and then you just walk away. You don't give them any explanation, there's no diagnostics tools available to check your car, you're just like, yeah, it screws up sometimes, and you just walk off. Now, how in the world is somebody going to figure out the problem that way, you know?
They should be that good.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I keep forgetting that. I guess it is. Yeah, it is probably my fault. Damn it. Yeah, anyway.
It's always your fault. You should know that by now.
I know. I'll take it. It's my fault. Fine. I'm an ass. Whatever. Any of the programmers out there, they feel me. They know what I'm talking about. It's difficult to find an intermittent problem anyway, especially when you don't have logs or information. All right, so fine and dandy. There's the technical situation. That's what's going on. An intermittent problem, very hard to decode, whatever. That's honky-dory. Great. Let's turn this into a positive light here. What did we do, or what can we do to try to solve the problem? What can we do to fix it? Well,
shut down Ben Rev Radio.
Ah, you darn it. Yes, that's the solution. That's the solution apparently some people would want, actually. But
you won't get any more complaints now, will you?
That is true. That is true. I mean,
I just think you're looking at a...
I've had my finger on the turn off the forums button a couple times, too, but I talked myself back down.
No, because then I'll cry. I mean, seriously, what do you expect me to do during work?
Work? I think, is that the part where we're supposed to laugh? Here's the thing.
That's what they want me to do.
Yeah, we can't joke about that because he mentioned in his email that somebody got fired for watching Hack TV and that's my fault. So we can't really, I guess we probably shouldn't joke about that. We're not allowed to joke on the show.
Okay,
hereby.
So, you know, if you get fired for running Hack TV, I just want to know why your monitor is visible to the outside of the hall. That's the question.
Exactly.
Everybody knows that your back of your monitor should be facing toward everybody else, so they can't see what you're doing.
Well, and if you have to...
I mean, how else do you expect to serve porn at work?
And that's why you also have to get a privacy guard. If you can't turn your computer around, you got to get that privacy screen to put over it.
Yep.
So that you
Amen.
Have to be looking directly onto it to see what's on the screen. And also, you got to program yourself a little macro for a hotkey. Hit that F1 boss key when somebody walks in or something. Not F1.
Man, this seriously, there's no such thing as a boss key anymore for games. I'm so disappointed.
I know. Most people don't even know what a boss key is. Nope, that term.
No, they don't. That's a really sad part. I remember playing F-19 Strike Fighter.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Before I had a job, but if you hit Alt B. You brought up a screenshot of a DOS prop with a directory listing. It was the coolest thing ever.
Okay.
And it would completely
nobody.
The game.
I don't think anybody understood any bit of that because you started breaking up horribly. Got to be some VoIP going on there, some VoIP, tasty VoIP goodness. So.
This call brought to you by New Phone.
Yeah, there you go. That's a little bit better. But you were saying about the hot boss key that would bring up a DOS prompt, so that if a boss walked by, which is what the name is for. That all of a sudden, the boss key or a spreadsheet would come up to make it look like you were working. So really quickly, all you do is hit the button. Now, you know what I had to do one time is hit the power on the monitor. Blink! Turn the monitor power off. The game was still going, but the monitor was off.
Oh, that can be dangerous because you could die.
Yeah, well, you know, better than losing your job, I guess. Wait a minute, what? Dying? Okay, virtual dying. Anyway, so... Again, back to the positive. We've got to, you know, what are we going to do about this? Fixing the server such as it is. Well, first of all, like I said, there's not a lot of error checking and stuff like that and debugging. So Nick84 has been adding tons of it, more and more each day to try to figure out if we can generate an error to see exactly what's causing it or where in the process this is dying. Because everywhere we've looked, it looks like it should be working. We've put some delays in there. Maybe it's trying to reconnect too fast. Maybe it's not... I don't know what it could be, but I know we just lost Black Ratchet, so I'm going to hang up on him, and hopefully he'll call back. And another thing that we've done is added in a feature or a logging thing that if a show drops, that we'll see something in the logs that'll tell us exactly why. We'll see a date, we'll see a time, et cetera, et cetera, so we know exactly why, or hopefully we'll know exactly why it is. Another positive thing that came out of this... And that's Black Ratchet calling us right back again, and we didn't even stop.
This call brought to you by New Phone.
You can't say that enough, right?
I can't blame New Phone for this one. This is buggy buggy system drivers for Asterisk. I'm calling you off my VoIP line, and because my phones are so horribly unsupported, I actually just received a phone call, and because I had it on Do Not Disturb, apparently when it hangs up one side of the phone call, like the other person calling you, it also hangs up the current call, and that's something I really need to fix.
Yeah, that makes perfect logical sense.
Yes, it's a very buggy driver.
Gotcha.
And certain people and I are trying to fix it, but slowly and steadily.
All right. Well, I was just continuing on and letting everybody know that some of the solutions we were trying to take on this server problem with the radio server is that, first of all, we're adding more logging and error generation and things like that. Another thing we did that was prompted from this is that we contacted all the other shows, well, not all the other shows, but the other shows out there that I hadn't heard from in a while, and said, hey, are you guys having any problems? Have you had any shows missed? And make sure, maybe if someone else is having this problem, we can find a pattern. No one else had contacted me, but I figured I'd initiate it. So I'm going out there being proactive to try to find a solution to this problem. Well, nobody else seems to have that problem, so we're continuing to work on the server. If anybody else does have problems, contact us right away. It works 99.9% of the time. It really does. It's very unfortunate that it just happened to happen to two of us. And one of us, I guess, wasn't patient and understanding enough to work through it. So,
and who was that?
Well, I think that's pretty painfully clear. So, I'm sorry that it came to that, UT Crazy, but you know what? Good luck. You go your way, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to make DDP Hack Radio work for you. Now, let's move on to
Hold on. Since we're on the subject, let me get on my soapbox.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'd just like to say to you, Stank, you are, quite frankly, you do a shitload of stuff for the community. I swear there. Oh, well. You do a lot of stuff for the community, and a lot of people, like, you know, complain about, oh, you know, the stuff stinks, it's like, you know, it's not working properly, you know, the gallery isn't up to spec. I mean, how much do you get paid for doing this?
I get, like, about 75 grand a year plus incentive. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry, it's zero. I got confused for a second.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't.
If you get 75 grand, can you hire an assistant?
Yeah, exactly.
I can be your Boston correspondent.
All right, there you go.
Yeah,
I am willing.
I mean, there's certain times, like, you know, during the server move, for those of you paying attention to, on yet another payphone list, there was a lot of stuff that was broken when we tried to move to the new server.
Oh my goodness!
And you know, we've been banging our heads against this, and I mean, you know, technically, I could be really, you know, pissy against Stank about, oh, you know, this doesn't work. But at the same time, you know, I'm getting this for free. I am getting a very fast server and a very, you know, dedicated, very fast fight, very, you know, very beautiful processors as they absolutely flies and screams on the new server. But,
yeah,
you know,
nice.
All this stuff is broken, but at the same time, it's free. I'm not paying for this. Stank is.
Yeah, but you're...
It's just...
Okay, stop blowing smoke on my ass. The thing is, you're helping out a lot, too. You're helping out with projects, all of DDP. That's why we're hosting all the sites, and that's why people who are productive and giving back to the community that have always been positive attitude and helpful. You know, I host a lot of other sites besides just the DDP sites, and I don't know how many people know that, and I'm not going to list any because I'm not sure who wants people to know what's hosted here. So, but it's not me that's doing... I mean, yeah, I try to do as much as I can, real life allowing, but there's a lot of other people putting in time, too. Frankly, if this would have...
Oh, yeah, please. I'm not trying to disrespect any of the other people
right.
that, you know, give back to the community. Please don't give me that. But, like, you know, you get a lot of crap flung at you.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's a word. But anyway.
Whatever. I do. And you know what? I have a thick skin. I can take most of it. And honestly, this incident, I would have probably just brushed it off. It wasn't such a big deal if it was just me. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit there and allow somebody to attack a creation that Nick84 has put so much time into and got working so freaking good. I am not going to let you disrespect my friends like that. Me, I'm thick-skinned enough to ignore you, but I am not going to let you publicly berate somebody who's doing something to help. And I just, it's just a principles thing. It's just something I stand up for, no matter who it is. But anyway, let's move on to some other emails, some normal emails. And boy, I think this might be another one of those all email shows, because we've still got a lot to come, a lot to go, and we're already way into the show. So I'm going to, wow, let's speed up on some of these, I guess. Okay.
Further proof on why you shouldn't take 2 weeks off.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. If I don't get to them all today, we'll carry them over to the next show. Okay, our second email this week comes from 10Base2. Stank Dog, I've been a hacker for the past 20 years, non-active for the past 10 years. Oh, that's sad. I recently listened to your internet radio presentation at Hoped, and it invigorated me to get back into the fold. Thank you for the inspiration. I've also registered on BinRev at 10Base2, old school. Well, let me just give credit where credit's due here. You said you listened to your internet radio presentation. Technically, that was Slip Mode's internet radio presentation. I just had a little bit part at the end there talking about specifically Binary Revolution Radio. So I only had 5 or 10 minutes. Dual Parallel had 5 or 10 minutes to talk about RFA. But that was Slip Mode's presentation. So first of all, let's just give credit. However, I appreciate the comment. And thank you for joining the forums. Again, drama comes up every once in a while. My attitude is you address it and you move past it. I just moved past one a couple of seconds ago, and it's over as far as I'm concerned, so come to the forums. When you see the drama, just try to ignore it. It'll go away, and you'll find a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of smart people there, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. I know, you know, it's been very helpful to me. I find a lot of good information. I enjoy it, sometimes more than others. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. And as far as presenting, since you gave me an opening, I'll pimp my speech that I'm going to be giving. I'm giving a presentation at Interzone 4 coming up in Atlanta week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever. So if anybody wants to... I guess I've already announced it. It's on disposable email vulnerabilities. So I won't go into too much more detail about that, but it's pretty much self-explanatory. The innate problems with disposable email sites, disposable email accounts, the just built-in problems with them, and our solution for it, yet another project that we put together, and we will announce that at Interzone 4.
Oh.
So it will be officially announced there, so I don't want to give too much away now. So if
okay,
anybody
pardon
can,
I, burn me, I asked.
So if anybody can make it, come on by to come on over to Atlanta, Interzone 4, March 11th through the 13th. Okay, our next email from Dev Monkey, who was nice enough. Take notes to this, people. Who was nice enough to give me a pronunciation of the name to make sure I didn't screw it up. Dev Monkey said, "Yeah, see, that's what I need. I'm a little slow." Hey, Doug / Stank Dog.
Need a little pronunciation key next to every handle.
Yeah, I need it. I keep a database. Hey, Doug Stank Dog. Of course, he didn't know who was going to be hosting because we've been jumping around a lot. My name is Dev Monkey, and I've been listening to BinRev Radio since episode 40. That's quite a while. I just want to say good job with the show and keep up the good work. Oh, actually, you'll remember this because I think you and I talked about this several times. He says, about the hard drive freezing you mentioned earlier. It's pretty much a myth. Ha! I told you. The reason it does work
he
sometimes...
Lies.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll play it from Seagate.
No. He's got a good explanation. Here we go. The reason it does work sometimes is probably due to a basic principle of chemistry. As objects heat up, they expand, and as they cool down, they shrink. If your hard drive dies, but it's adjacent to a CD, DVD burner, or another hard drive, the heat from these drives could be enough to increase the size of the platters just enough for the read heads to be misaligned. The freezing serves only to bring the entire drive back to a cool, equal temperature so that the drive's heads and platters are all properly aligned, since hard drives are designed to operate in specific temperature ranges anyway. Thanks for reading this, if you read this on the air, and I'd like to give a shout-out, I'll be glad to pass on some shout-outs here, to Pound AVS Chat, that's obviously an IRC channel there, AVSCHAT. And The Flap. So, shouts to them. I'll pass
the
that
flap.
On.
The Flap. T-E-H.
T-E-H. See, I love... See, to me, I would almost lobby to make T-E-H a word, because that's the one I misspell more than anything. When you're typing fast... Ugh. Okay,
I just have it on autocorrect. I don't think I type it correct anymore.
Yeah, exactly, and that makes it worse, horribly. It's like when I was a little kid, when I was like, I don't know, third or fourth or fifth grade, I was in spelling bees. Now, oh, good grief, I couldn't spell four-letter words properly.
Well, oh, my God.
Certain ones, but, you know. I have been elitized, I guess. So, ha, see? I always said that this is a myth as any kind of viable data recovery. In a rare case,
okay,
it might work.
Okay, I have a problem with this.
Okay, go
it's
ahead.
It's pretty much a myth. The reason it does work... Wait, excuse me, what?
What?
The reason it does work?
Sometimes. Keep reading. They work sometimes.
Okay, so then it's not a myth now, is it?
It's not a regular viable data recovery method.
Did I ever say it was a regular?
Well, no, but some people,
whatever you just said.
Some people think that, and we're trying to squash it. We're trying to put a solution to this and put it to bed.
Dude, I sacrifice small animals if I really want my data back. I mean, I go all out.
You do what you got to do. I mean, data's data. Companies spend thousands.
Exactly, man. So, like, you know, if it involves waving a dead chicken at it, hell it, I'll do it. I don't care.
Hey, large companies spend enormous amounts of money for data recovery services. Forensic analysis, where they go in and start picking apart every little tiny bit in magnetic, positive, and negative to try to reconstruct data. Data is insanely valuable. Some more than others.
I mean, my porn collection.
Okay. I was going to say, my prawn collection is priceless, you know. And I got to do whatever I have to do to try to recover it. So, I'm sure the listeners can feel me on that one. So, okay, thank you for the clarification. I'm saying that it's such a rare occurrence that it happens that, A, it possibly could be chalked up to coincidence. However, I think what he said is right, that it's causing expanding and contracting. It's contracting of the machinery inside, for lack of a better word, and that it will occasionally, 1 in 1,000 times, work. That's my ballpark estimate. And we're going to keep getting emails, and this is the funny thing. This is why it falls into that urban legend category, because we're going to get emails both ways for months and months to come. We're going to get an email when somebody listens to each one of these saying, oh, no, it worked for my cousin's sister's uncle. And then somebody else is going to go, no, that's impossible because you can't do this and that and that. And then somebody's going to go, yeah, I did it myself one time. It's going to go on forever. I'm going to write this down. I'm not going to write it down. I'm going to try to remember. I am going to contact, like Western Digital and try to see if I can get somebody there to give me a solid answer. You think there's any chance they would give it to me?
Probably not.
Did you fall asleep on me?
Should you contact Western Digital on a Western Electric phone?
No. I don't have one. I have a VTech.
Noob.
I know. But my VTech has a USB port. Sweet!
Yeah, my Western Electric can kill a man.
I can... Oh, wow. I guess that wins. I can upload bitmap wallpaper on mine. All right, you still win. All right, next email.
Yeah. Western Electric.
Don't mess
all
with the Western
Electric. All hail the Bell
system. Exactly. Don't mess with the Western Electric. Okay, our next email this week comes from DJ Lunar. It says, I was wondering first what really happened at the end of Hack TV Episode 1. My imagination sucks a lot of the time. Okay, I'm going to do this as I go along. This is a longer email. At the end of Hack TV Episode 1, some urban exploration continued into places that would not be happy to have the footage on the air. That's all. That's all I have to say about that. Second, if it wasn't for you guys, I would have never found out about Doug TV and White Sword TV, as well as The Broken. Uh-oh, sorry about that last one. Going through websites. Third, I can't wait till episode 2. One and 1.5 kicked ass. I guess one and a half, he must be referring to Pwned, the special episode.
Pwned!
One and 1.5 kicked ass. You really Pwned Lucky. Fourth, I just wanted to let you know I have my own radio show. I was hoping that you and everyone at the above shows, Broken, White Sword, Doug, etc., can listen to me in the near future. Tell me what you think. It's down at the moment, trying to get a server to work properly. Okay, so I guess we won't be listening to it anytime soon. Finally, number five, are y'all out of the Orlando area of Florida? Are y'all in Florida? Because on the war driving part, one of the places that was getting packets was not blurred, and I used Google to find its location, and it said Kissimmee, or however the heck you spell it. Anyway, this is DJ Luna signing out, or as my friends call me, not your typical DDS, Dark, Deep, Dark Sephiroth. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Well, let me see, was it in Orlando?
No, I am not based out of Orlando, I'm based out of Boston.
Right. You may, however, see footage that could come from anywhere. How about that for an answer? You may see footage that, because we get around. I go to a lot of conferences, a lot of conventions, do a lot of traveling. So, never be surprised where you'll find footage from. However, I don't think there's any harm in saying that I am actually located in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. So, no and yes, I guess. I guess that's the answer. Yes and no for your answer to whether that was... Anyway, he goes on to say, P.S., I was listening to episode 1 of Ben Rev Radio, listening from the beginning, and was wondering if perhaps you knew of any sites to get info on people. I actually got gypped out of $60 from a guy who was selling me a video game system but never sent it, and as soon as I heard about that on episode 1, I realized I got majorly screwed. I would love to go to New Hampshire and... Oh, New Hampshire, hey, that's not far. And kick his ass.
Hey.
I'm too poor for an airplane ticket. So I kind of want to mess with him somehow. Anywho, one other small thing. I'm not a hacker, but I'm wanting to take classes to be a good witch, not a bad witch. And this little...
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Wizard of Oz quote. I like that. That's good stuff. And always tell people I'm a hacker in training. So if anyone is ever called a script kiddie and you know they don't read other people's stuff, well, anyhow, you get the idea. I'll stop bugging you now and close my theme to the radio show just because I'm sending it to a bunch of peeps. If you like it and like all different kinds of music, I like from Bach to Prodigy, from Spice Girls to Max Romeo, be sure to check us out. Sorry, I'm a big talker in email sometimes. Anyhow, peace out. Okay, and then he closes to ask where he can get our theme song from our show. Well, since you're only on episode 1...
Hey, where can you get this theme song on my show? Could you point me to a place where I might find a link?
Yeah, since you're starting at episode 1, obviously, keep listening. You'll find out that the answer is Zurl.com. I'm going to give the answer, because that's what I do. Why waste time if I'm not going to give the answer? Zurl.com, Z-E-A-R-L-E.com, redesigned. So, that's it. Let's move on from that email. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Where are we here time-wise? Okay, we're going to have to bust through these emails. Okay, next email comes from PBX34K, Stank, and guest co-host if this is read on the air. Love the show. I just picked
up... Hi, random email writer.
Hi. I just picked it up a few weeks ago and have already absorbed the entire second season and half of the first. Episode 60 with In Theory got me off my butt and into Asterisk. I had heard of it before,
Woo-hoo!
But yeah, it's that episode has gotten a lot of people into Asterisk, so that's awesome. I had heard of it before, but never really thought much of it. Thanks to BenRev, I am now the proud owner of my own PBX.
Asterisk is the shiz.
Yeah, you can relate to that one here, can't you? I am not
Indeed.
The. I have to admit, I'm not the owner of my own PBX. I figure there's so many.
You're a noob.
Yeah, I know, because you guys have so many of them already that why make another one? I'll just use yours. Okay, a topic that came up in earlier episodes was human ML, or human markup language. I remember this topic. That was quite a while back. For which you...
Apparently missed it.
Yeah, that was a while back. For which you expressed no optimism. I think your complaints about con artists using XML to fake a smile over IRC, while valid, misses some of the other possible uses for this protocol. Well, protocol is not the right word there, but I know what you mean. All of your arguments against HTML seem centered around essentially client-to-client type applications, while an XML substandard, such as HTML, or Human Markup Language again, provides a convenient format to be stored and replayed. One day, client-side applications, given this data, could use it as a framework to create convincing avatars, both real-time and scripted, using the various sensors... using the basic information given in the HTML, the application would fill in the blanks. Robotics could benefit from a concise method of accessing context of human speech and surrounding environments. Various sensors within a robot would be able to connect and add data to the same XML files, generating a real-time log. An operator could tell if the machine could tell the machine, dig over there while pointing to the location, instead of instructing the robot to move specific directions. I think there really may be some use for this human ML stuff. Keep up the great work with the radio show and magazine. Awesome work. All right. Now, this is a cool email. This is a good email. The guy thinks for himself. I assume it's a guy. I guess, whatever. The person thinks for themselves and catches something that, quite frankly, is, I think, legitimate. I think that's a very valid point. First of all, it's good to hear that people are listening to the old episodes. That's awesome. The information in them should be holding up very well. A few of them might be dated. I don't really go back and listen to many of them myself, but for the most part, it's teaching fundamentals and a specific topic that doesn't change over time. So hopefully they should stand up very well over time. I guess, obviously, time will tell. But specifically, you're talking about episode 40, I looked it up, and you do have a very valid point with human markup language. I'll give that to you completely. I was looking at the potential for abuse. That's something that I always do. I always consider that in all projects. And everybody should, the potential for abuse, not only the potential for use, but the abuse as well. And at the time, I honestly didn't see any good applications for it. I think you did. The only application I saw was for avatars, and I even joked, and I said that back then, we even joked about them being nothing but fancy emoticons, and how they could be easily faked, and that they were worthless, and things like that. However, you have a very valid point here, and the ability to use data for later applications. I was thinking all client-to-client, exactly what you said, and you're absolutely right. This would be a kind of something that could potentially be useful. Well, first of all, let me back up and remind everybody that human markup language, or HTML, is an XML substandard, just like RSS is an XML substandard. Different formats of XML, different tags of XML to contain data to a specific process. Podcasting is another one, for example. RSS for... And human markup language is one that's supposed to have data for... facial expressions and body movements and things like that, such as raising an eyebrow or how the mouth moves or a smile, what muscles and things like that. So just to bring everybody up, that's what it's referring to. But the focus...
Base, extremity, eyebrow, value 60 degrees, upward.
Yeah, exactly. And how putting all that together, and that's what our big joke was, big deal. You can make a fake avatar, you can sit there and flat, bold-faced lie to somebody with the help of this. You could be laughing your ass off, but if you send the proper human markup language to be smiling, you could sit there and smile to their face while you're lying to them. So that was our joke.
This is like one step closer to the metaverse, man. Snow crash, it's all about.
Well, and his examples, too, was not so much the now, or what's going on right now of applying this, but... Once he mentioned this, it got me to thinking that this is the kind of thing that where the scripts could be saved and used later, like for reenactment of trials or forensic analysis and things like that, that you could keep this type of stuff on file in some sort of data warehouse environment, a warehouse of different expressions and tendencies and things that were done, sociological standpoint things and stuff like that that could be maybe search for patterns at a later date. From that standpoint, that is absolutely something I hadn't thought of. I think that's a very good point. I don't know how, honestly, how useful it would be, but I do think it is a good point. it still seems a little bit too arbitrary and difficult to reenact from a historical standpoint, but I'll admit the possibility. That is something very much to consider.
And plus, this brings me one step closer to my Jenna Jameson AI.
Come on, dude. You've already got three the real dolls.
But they're just, that's not the same.
But you need them to actually wink at you and talk back and stuff?
I thought I told you not to mention that on air.
Well, don't worry. We'll edit that out. Forget about it.
Okay, good.
Okay, so, yes, thank you for the email. Those are very good points, and that's a good email. That's the kind of email I like to get. Very good
Amen.
Stuff. So, PBX34K, I give you shouts for that. That was a good one. Okay, next email on this email spectacular, or craptacular, I don't know, comes from Booter. Booter says, Stank Dog, I've been listening to stuff on phonelosers.org for a while now and found you guys through them. Rest assured, BenRev.com is bookmarked. I've always been interested in hacking, cracking, etc. I'm trying to catch up on the radio shows, which are great. But my question is, what's the best advice for someone getting started in hacking? I've read the usual docs online, but nothing seems to point on where to really get started. I went to school for network administration and currently work for Yahoo doing web hosting support for Yahoo. Well, if you work for them, I hope you're doing support for them. Okay, well, Booter, welcome, and hopefully you'll become our Yahoo insider. You can give us the inside scoop on what kind of good stuff Yahoo's hiding from us. And just for the record, not that I care, but we don't really have a direct affiliation with Phone Losers. We have some friends in common. We've both been around for a while, that sort of thing. But they're them and we're us, so I'm glad that you found us through them, and I'm sure it works the other way around as well. As far as the best way to get into hacking, Black Ragic can affirm this, that this is the question that we get a lot. Lots of emails. Worded a little differently each time, but I mean this is a how to hack how to hack email.
Dude, how do I hack Sor?
Yeah, we sit and ask how to hack Hotmail, and this one seems a little legitimate. So I thought I'd take a little step here. I should have learned better than with that first email than taking a risk. But anyway, I don't know. I'll give some vague cliche stuff here, and hopefully it'll sink in a little bit. The best way to get into hacking, I mean, this is just an enormously vague question. It really is. There's no magic book that I can tell you. Go read X, Y, and Z, and that's it. It's not that simple. There's not even a magic book that I can tell you to get started with. There is no starting point. That's the thing you've got to get past. You can't believe or think that there's something that you're missing, like there's one thing out there that you need to get started. It's not that simple. The best thing you can do, and I know this is a horrible cliche, but you've got to train your mind, you've got to open your mind, and be able to think outside of the box, as the saying goes. Think outside, color outside of the lines. You've got to think outside of the limitations that you face. So what that means, really, to put it in more plain English, question everything. Everything. Always question everything. How does this work? How does that work? Why can't I do this? What happens if I do that?
Where does my lap go when I stand up?
Mine doesn't go anywhere, but I see. My solution is I never stand up. But yeah, learn as much as you can about everything, and just don't take no for an answer. Now I know that sounds really silly, and you're thinking that doesn't help me. It really does. Start consciously, make an effort to consciously overthink things for a while. Anything work-related that you run into, any website that you come across, start thinking outside of what you see before you. And I'm starting to sound like Matrix-y or something, aren't I?
Yes.
I don't want to sound all weird. Basically, just don't...
I took the blue pill.
Yeah, I took them both. And man, did I get a massive headache.
No, I took the blue pill and a 50K amphetamine chaser. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby. It really is. It's the hacker mindset is the fundamental building block from which everything else grows. And that's the only thing that I can tell you as far as thinking about it. And that is the most important thing. You have to get that thought process working first and foremost. A hacker doesn't just ask why. A hacker asks why not. That's the biggest thing. And you've got to train yourself to do that. And to some of us, I guess, that's how we knew that we were different or knew that we were hackers is because we've always done that. It can be trained. It can be taught. It's just not something that you're taught in schools and everywhere else. So it is definitely something that you have to make a conscious effort to try to do. When you read something, don't just go by what you see on the paper. You know there's another story behind that. Just because you read one side of an article, you know that somebody else has a different opinion. Try to think what that opinion is. Try to think, why did they say this? Why does it mean that? What does it mean here? What if I didn't do this? What if they did do that? Question everything. Now, that's all well and good, and I hope, honestly, I sincerely mean it. That is very important to do that and start training yourself to do that. As far as the technical aspects, now that's really what he wants, right?
I don't know.
Most people want...
I don't know this man.
Yeah, well, most people...
Are you asking me?
Most people want the magic bullet. They want you to tell them, okay, download this program and you can hack the Gibson. And it's not, you know, I think it's not that simple. It's just... There's no one
book. Dude, what do you mean it's not that simple? I'm using KRAD Hacksaw 2.0 from Microsoft.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been elite ever since I downloaded AOL. But, you know...
Oh, God. Oh, man. And we're talking about... God, this is like the reminiscing episode. We're
yeah.
Talking about Ballstreams, AOL. Oh, God,
I went old school. Yeah, I went old school on you that time.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's... And then, actually, that kind of demonstrates the point, is even if you had a program or some book or whatever... It changes. It's outdated. You have to be able to adapt. So the simple answer for the technical aspects of what you want is to read. Not just a book, not just a particular place, and not I'm not going to tell you something specific to read. There's not one thing that you can read. It's generally read. Read everything that you can get your hands on. And read critically. Do critical reading while in the state of mind I described earlier. Read thinking outside of the lines. Don't accept the words that are on the page as gospel, but try to build upon them. Try to understand them and learn them and take them a step further. So not only will you read and understand what you're reading, but you'll be able to build on it and start coming up with things on your own. What about this? I wonder if I can do that. That type of stuff. So...
One of the best things I ever, you know, you ever can ever ask when reading something is, well, why can't the system work this way?
Yeah. That's how revolutions take place. That's how changes happen. Because somebody questions it to say, I think I can do this.
Let's see what happens when I press this button.
Exactly. Oh, blue screen of death. Why'd you push that button? Man, the show was going along good and you just blue screened it.
Dude, because you're a noob.
Don't push buttons anymore, okay?
Dude, I'm using my KRAD Hacksaw 2.0 from Microsoft.
Yeah, just don't push any
all
more
I gotta buttons. All I gotta do is pull down your menu from the, you know, Super Elite, choose the person you want to hack, and I choose Snake Dog, and I just shoot Hacksaw System.
Yeah, I think you're queued up. I think there's probably 500 people in front of you to hack Snake Dog.
Yeah, but they don't have, you know, KRAD Hacksaw 2.0 that I downloaded from Bill Gates' personal directory.
Well, what if they have 2.1? They have a newer version.
Oh, man, I haven't run Windows Update in a while, so...
Yeah, it comes with Windows Update. That's good. Okay, anyway, that's it. Go to drhoppers.org. Lots of different texts on there, but no one of them is some magic thing. But read through them all, learn from them, build upon them, give feedback to them, etc. And read them, the ones that interest you, and see if you can take them a step further. That's pretty much it. Good luck.
Well, one of the things that you didn't mention was, you know, hell, just hang around BinRed forums, and you get, like, tons of juicy little nuggets out of there.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a question, ask it. You know, if you're afraid of getting flamed, ask it at Newbie HQ. You can't get hacksorted. You can't get hacksorted, yeah. I got him hit eye on the mind. You can't get flamed in there. That's, I mean, you know, go ahead, do
yeah.
it.
That's a good point. I forgot about that. We have a flame-free zone, the Newbie HQ.
Indeed.
You can ask anything, and if somebody flames you, we'll ban them. That's simple, so you've got a safe place. And listen to the radio show, yada yada, pimp, pimp, whatever. Okay, next email. How many more do I got? Boy, this is going to... Okay, next email from Digital Galileo, who says, Dear Stank Dog, I just found your show about a week ago and have been trying like a madman to catch up 80-something episodes. Anywho... Why is everybody...
It's a machine.
Anywho, I just installed my first distro of Linux, Fedora Core 3, and I found that there is no support for MP3 besides the Linux port of Real Player. Oh, God. Which I hate with a passion that no language short of Klingon could express, and I can't speak Klingon. You speak Klingon, don't you?
No, I don't. But
that sounded good, though.
That's the point. No one else speaks it, so you can just, like, sort of, like, you know, say, like, you know,
right.
Any type of guttural phrase, and people are like, whoa,
nobody
pretty
would,
cool.
Yeah, nobody could have called you on that.
I do know one word, and that's plah, which is success. And back when I was a severe Trekkie in high school, I used to cry out every once in a while.
Oh, gosh. All right.
I've been like 5 years clean.
I wouldn't have admitted that on the air, but, yeah.
Dude, I was a Trekkie. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, recovering Trekkie.
Oh, come on. Like, you never did anything embarrassing during high school.
Oh, man. I don't share those stories on the air. I was hacksawing the Gibson when I was in high school. And rollerblading and riding motorcycles and making out with Angelina Jolie. And selling copies.
What school did you go to, man?
Whichever one was in.
Suddenly, like, you know, you have 50 listeners signing up to, like, you know, dude, I got to transfer into Southern Florida. I don't care.
Let's see. So anyway, I was wondering if you know where I can get an AUG version of your show. Thanks for an awesome show. And keep doing what you're doing. Okay, Fedora, perfectly fine distro to start with. Don't worry about the distro wars or anything. If that's the one you chose, go with it. Try something else
Debian.
Later if you want. Perfectly fine. Good starting point,
Debian.
I think. Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Now, I promised a long, 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 long time ago that I'd put out BinRev in AUG format. Frankly,
Debian.
I haven't had time. Shut up. Debian's fine, too, but... Let the guy, don't get him spending time switching distros.
What the Debian do you mean?
Yes. Subliminal now, are we? I haven't had time to encode this stuff into AUG format. It's like the lowest of low priorities to me, quite frankly. I just have so much other more things to do. I had people offer, which I appreciate, but that's doesn't really help me because you have to encode from the original files to have the quality. And they're 700 megs plus per episode times 85 episodes. Do the math. Be a lot to send digitally or even burn it to DVD is not even reasonable. So, and space was an issue in the past. Now we've got a new server now. It's not such much an issue, but the time is. So, other than that, Real Player sucks. I'll give you that one. And in Klingon, we say, Hook back, play that. I don't know. I made that up. That's the funny thing, is it probably did mean something. And I don't even know. Probably means I have it, never mind. now you're going to act like you don't know what it means, to pretend like you don't know Klingon. Be honest. Well, I guess he can't be honest if he's dropped off the line the second time. I guess he got another call in. So I'm going to continue on with the email here, and boy, this is going to be an all-email show, so I'm going to wrap this up quickly. Email from ZX, ZEDEXX, who says, Hey guys, hello from New Zealand, and thanks for the show, the TV show, and the magazine. They are all great, and I really enjoy listening, watching, and reading them. The handle, Luco Zadie, from episode 82, that's a British... is a British energy drink called Luco Zadie. I reckon the name is a play on that. So Luco Zadie is how I'd pronounce it. So we have an answer to that, Mr. Dropped Offline. Somebody called me again.
No, I don't know what that happened. I think actually this one was New Phone.
Well, New Phone sucks. All right, so...
I guess so.
All right, I got to...
Now I've taken, like, you know, complete measures against it. I've called over my copper line. So unless someone blows up the, you know, my switching station, I hopefully will work.
All right, hopefully the sound quality's... Hopefully you're loud enough that people are still going to hear the sound levels. But got to burn through this...
Electric phone.
Yeah, we got to burn through this super fast because we're not even going to get through the email, it doesn't look like, tonight. I know. From the same company, from the same episode, Amstrad is a British computer company, amstrad.co.uk. They made 8-bit computer in the 80s, which I guess is what the guy referring to, and they bought out Sinclair. Hope you've heard of them. They made the awesome ZX81 and Spectrum home machines, which were my introduction to computers. Finally, I have a tip for dealing with
real... I haven't heard that name in a while.
That's a long... Sinclair? Finally, I have a tip for dealing with real media files. I use the Streambox Ripper program and the Streambox VCR suite to convert them to MP3. Unfortunately, you still have to have the real player installed so the converter has access to the real codec. But at least this means you only need it on one machine and you never actually have to run the real player program. So, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Lesser of the Two Evils also sent me an email about the energy drink and the pronunciation, so... thank you for the email, and once again, real sucks. Thank you very much. Next email, we got two more. I'm going to hurry up. Email from Lane Wired, who says, "Thank Dog. It is thanks to people like you that people understand what hacking is all about." I hope so. Thank you. "I have been listening for about a month, and I have pretty much caught up with, all the episodes in a month. Woo! I have recently ordered Ben Rev Magazine. Can't wait to get them. I wanted to know if there is any other merchandise I could buy to support your work, or if you accept PayPal donations. Maybe there's something I could do to help. Cough, cough, co-host a show. Cough, cough. Let me know. Okay, one last question. I was wondering how many regular listeners the show has. Keep up the good work. I know you put a lot of effort into this, but remember, we listeners really appreciate it. P.S. I know everyone has Gmail now, but in case any of the listeners don't have one yet, I'd be more than happy to give all my invites out. I have like 40 left." And he has his email here. I won't read it on the air because... we have a thread in the forum for giving out Gmail, and very generous of you, and there's a lot of other people doing the same thing, so just feel free to post them in there, request them in there. Tons of people have them now, so they're not exactly a premium. So, in general, thank you for the kind words. I'm glad to see that people actually get it. I'll tell you what, let's jump, it's kind of hard, I'll jump into the question about how many listeners and then come back to the merchandise stuff.
Well, I'm still waiting for the merchandise stuff. I want to know when I can get BenRev the flamethrower.
It is hard to determine how many listeners we have altogether, quite frankly, because of the fact that, that we can't count. Wait a minute, did it? What? Oh, no, because of the fact that there's a bunch of mirrors out there that we just can't count all of them, so because of that... all I can do is really give you an estimate. Now, the estimate's based on our website, and a ballpark estimate, to put it in perspective, is that we get about, and remember, most people download the show. There's can be upwards of 50 people listening to it when it streams. Usually it's more like 15 to 25 range listening to it live. Most people download it the next day or within a week or two. So I'd estimate that anywhere between 1,500 and 2,000 listeners within the first week that we released the show for download. So, and those are the regular listeners who are coming back and checking for us each week or on the podcast or something like that. And then, of course, it starts to drop down over time. I think it's very safe. It's being very, very conservative to say that any one episode right now, within 1 month of it being released, has around 3,000 listeners just from our site alone.
Hello, listeners. Blackratchet.org. Visit it.
Yeah, just watch it. See if we can get your hits to spike as an experiment.
Yeah, sure. Might as well. I mean, no one else is at the damn site. Also, you have another payphone list, yapple.org, Y-A-P-L. Yeah.
Yapple. Yeah. Do you have that working again, by the way, that mhash problem we were having?
Yes.
Yes?
I'll tell you how I fixed it later.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. And to put in just another little kind of funny tidbit here is people keep downloading, of course, and you've heard some of the other listeners say, email writers say that they are listening to the old episodes. So to put a little bit more perspective on it, going back to the first few episodes, the first 10 episodes, we're getting about 100 listeners on those so far, like about 100 to 150 a month still listening to the first episodes. So people are going back and downloading the first episodes as well. So obviously the newer ones are what most people download and start going backwards. So 3,000, not counting other sites. So and growing each week, which is awesome. So welcome to old listeners and new listeners alike. Now, for the merchandise stuff, thank you for the opportunity. Actually, you're giving me a platform to talk about this because I have a weird...
Pick up the lunchbox.
I have a kind of a weird thought handle on this. I don't really feel right taking donations. I just feel weird about it. I'm not comfortable with it. So I've never put up donation links. No one ever knows where the money's going with something like this, and I try to be upfront, but there's always people who think that we're getting rich and I'm sitting on a pile of money and people are donating and stuff. I just don't even want to avoid the potential accusations. Because, again, as we saw earlier, I get accused of stuff, like, unwarrantedly. So I'll just avoid the circumstances altogether. If you do want to make a donation, I mean, I'm not going to turn it down or anything. You can just send anything to orders@benrev.com. It's the same address when you order something that goes to. However, I would prefer that you just buy the magazine. Because that way you get something in your hands. You actually get some tangible benefit, something that you can read and pass on. Order extras. If you're really generous and you really want to support, order some extra ones so that and hand them out to your friends or get people reading them, educate people. I'd rather that than just donating money outright because it just feels better to me personally. We don't charge for the site, for the TV show, for the radio show, for any of that kind of stuff, and I don't plan on it. But if you buy a magazine, it helps us produce more of these. All of the stuff that you would buy from us or any money that you donate goes back into producing these things. If I have to buy a new microphone to do the radio show, that's what the money goes to. Most of the money goes to the printing costs of the magazine, which we're still in the hold on. So it's not like we're making really any money. So any money that does come in from this stuff, we reinvest it to make T-shirts and to make more magazines and to buy equipment or whatever we have to do. So
when is the Stank Dog action figure coming out?
In action figure, you mean?
Yeah, the Stank Dog action figure, you know, with the laptop accessory and real war driving action.
Yeah, you pull the string.
So we can have the Stank Mobile with interchangeable cooler parts.
You pull the string, and I can flame on command. Got to do the closing here in a second. Just to say, as far as other products go, we are actually working on T-shirts. Possibly some polo shirts or hats or something. I'm not going all crazy. I don't know why people make thongs. I don't foresee anybody wearing a BenRev thong. But please correct me if I'm wrong. If you're one of the ladies and would like a thong, email us and let us know. As long as you're going to take a
thongs
picture.
Thongs are just for ladies.
Thanks for the visual. I think that one's just... Woo. Sub-Zero's working on a T-shirt he mentioned in the forums, and I'm trying to put one together for Interzone. Any day now, we'll have that stuff up. So as soon as we do, we'll post it on the website. So there's something else you can do to help support. And we put that money back into, like I said, the other projects and stuff. And if you don't believe, there are people who don't believe you should give any money for anything like that. That's fine, too. Okay? You don't have to do any of this. You're welcome to the forums and the radio show. Just do me one favor and don't bitch. It's free.
Exactly. Thank you.
So if you do want to support us and pay, we'll gladly accept it and try to keep producing stuff for the deadbeats out there. Anyway, thank you. And the other thing is thank you for that line about appreciating us. I don't need to have my ego stroked or anything, but once in a while, it's truly nice, sincerely, to hear somebody say that they appreciate what we do. It really is nice to just hear it once in a while, especially after that first email that I talked about and people like that. It's really nice to know that somebody does support us and care and understand. So thank you for that sincerely. I appreciate it. Now, we are going to have to jump. I'm afraid this was an all-email show. It's just too much to catch up on, so we're going to have to...
Thank you. You can never take a vacation ever again.
I know. And I sent some of the emails to Doug. I just couldn't get all of them over there. All right. Well, first of all, we're closing out. Reminder, 2600 meetings this Friday.
Shout. I actually finally go to the Boston 2600.
Oh, cool. Well, you can tell us about that on an upcoming episode, how that goes.
Yes.
Shout-outs. I've got
anyone wants me to meet me, just, you know, send me a line and I'll introduce myself.
Okay. I'll go ahead and put a couple of mine out first for the shouts. I want to shout out to Nyx, NYX, who's been updating HackerMedia.net with our show. I appreciate him doing that because I never have time to go out and do that kind of stuff myself. If I had to go out to every single site that had a listing of shows and added, I would never, ever have time. It would be just such a time. I don't have time to do that, so I sincerely appreciate Nick's doing it for me. So I just try to concentrate on putting the show out, and hopefully others will help get the word out and help share.
And remember, folks, you can't spell Ninex without Nix.
That's exactly right. And let's see. Most people know what Ninex is. I'm going to have to explain that.
If you don't know what Ninex is, shame on you.
And from Infotex, who he's been working back and forth with me on email. He wrote an application called Eyedropper, which also is a fantastic name. What a great appropriate name. And it's at, actually he tiny URL'd this for us, which is nice, tinyurl.com/69ccc. And basically that's really cool, and what it is it takes the XML feed from Doc Droppers and makes it accessible to your iPod. So it's very
completely
cool.
Completely awesome.
Yeah, so I need to get one of those free iPods, so I think I might go hang out at Kevin Rose and just beg for people to click on my referral link. And lastly, sincere thanks again to Doug. Doug did a fantastic job with the show on short notice. He's welcome to come back anytime. Sincerely, it was a good job, and I think everybody, I'm sure that everybody agrees with me. He did a fantastic job taking over the show. So that's it for me. You got any shouts you want to throw out there?
I'll second your motion on Doug and Lucky. They did an awesome show. Just recently listened to them from, like, you know, the past two episodes, and they really did. They kicked ass.
Yeah, they did great job. Stuck with the format.
I'll send shouts out to Strom Carlson and PhoneTrips.com, both of which are unrelated, but anyway. Other than that, I don't know.
Okay. And email us. If we ever get caught up on email, we might get to your email. Email us.
Everyone put a post. Moratorium on email for 1 week.
radio@benrev.com. Now, we'll catch up to all of them. We just had a couple long ones we had to address at the beginning of the show, unfortunate ones, but email us, radio@benrev.com. Our closing music this week is, I went different, I'm switching it up this time, going with a little jazz. Little jazz from a group called the South Street Band. The song's called Black and Blue, so we're going to get jazzy with it. And Black
get
Ratchet.
Jazzy with it.
Thank you for being on the show, even though it was pretty much me reading emails most of it.
Oh,
but
it's always enjoyable to be on the show.
We'll have a more proper show after you go to your meeting and fill people in, and we got InterZone coming up, so the busy times are still coming. So I guess it's going to do it for this week. So we'll tell everybody that we will see them next week, same hack time,
same hack channel.